Ben Bradley, how was your drive-in today?
It was a piece of cake because it was before any of the snow and before the news got busy with Mike Madigan verdicts and the like.
Yeah, and people just stayed home because they didn't want to deal with what might be a terrible rush hour this afternoon. But yeah, nobody saw that come in. I mean, we've been expecting it, but geez, how do you unravel everything that was
yeah,
released?
It was an interesting verdict, a sign that I think this jury was very diligent in going count by count and saying, okay, here's what we know, here's what we think, and here's what we can say beyond a reasonable doubt. Early interviews with two of the jurors that our team has spoken with indicate that it was two jurors who were the holdouts on some of the counts. But look, the headline here for my nickel is that the verdict matters less than the impact of the Justice Department charging Mike Madigan in the first place, because it was that charge that dislodged Madigan from power. The feds did what voters and Republicans and even some Democrats haven't been able to do in this state for 40 plus years, and that was clip the wings of the man who controlled almost every aspect of political power in the state of Illinois.
And they would not have achieved that without Danny Solis wearing a wire.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about it, and whether you're a local state's attorney or you're a U.S. attorney for the feds, you know, they'll tell you that the people they get to cooperate are not clean as a whistle, right? There are no vegetarians in steakhouses. And in order to go in there and witness some of this conduct and get people to talk about it on a wire, they have to be involved in it. And Danny Solis has the former alderman, a checkered history, you know, and not only was he under pressure to produce for the feds, but he also had some salacious items in his background, from you know, Viagra and massages to financial difficulties.
And Madigan's co-defendant and his longtime confidant, Michael McLean, he said, when they said, "How are you feeling?" He goes, "My head is spinning." He used the word spinning. And then they asked him if he was surprised by the jury. And he said, "I was surprised I got indicted."
Well, he shouldn't have been surprised, because it's the second time it happened. And, you know, Mike McLean, it was interesting that the jury couldn't come to a consensus on McLean, because in order to believe the charges against Madigan, you had to know that McLean was the cutout man. He was the one having the conversations with ComEd, saying, quote, "Our friend," end quote, "would like you to do this." The friend, mm-hmm. of course, being Madigan. So, you know, maybe the jury had sympathy for McLean, but McLean wielded his unique and close relationship with Mike Madigan as leverage, not just for himself, but for Madigan for decades. But, you know, Mike McLean not getting off scot-free here. Remember, he was also charged in the ComEd 4 bribery case and found guilty there. So he's not walking out scot-free.
Mike Madigan did walk out of the building today, right? So when does he return for sentencing, do we know?
I have not seen a sentencing date. It usually takes a couple of months because there'll be, you know, pre-sentencing investigation done. Madigan will sit down with a court officer who will kind of walk through his history, any special needs, et cetera. His attorneys no doubt will file appeals. And this is the process that Madigan and his attorneys want to slow down, right? Like, the longer they can draw out the time from conviction to the time that he actually has to report to prison only benefits Mike Madigan, because he's 82 years old. And, you know, if he's sentenced to, say, 2 years, and I only say that because that's what former Chicago Alderman Ed Burke got, you know, that is, could be, you know, a life sentence, essentially, for a man of that age.
And do they take that into consideration?
They do. They do. But, you know, what they also take into consideration is the fact that Madigan, like Burke before him, wielded power for decades. And while they used, no doubt, some of that power for good to help people, they also, this was not a one-off heat-of-the-moment decision that they were convicted of. This was a pattern in practice. It's you know, it's essentially an ongoing criminal enterprise, if you will. And some of the charges, by the way, levied against Madigan are the same things that are used to bring down, you know, organized crime and other figures, because they're saying, yeah, Madigan may not have taken an envelope full of cash, but all of his maneuvering was for the dual purpose of power and profit.
Do you think they'll look back and regret putting him on the stand?
I don't know. You know, most defense attorneys don't want their guy to testify because most defendants, you know, have a difficult time on cross-examination explaining their actions. In Madigan's case, he's such a wily guy, and I think effectively, you know, turned himself from the person who has been made out to be this man behind the curtain, pulling the levers of power in a Machiavellian way. Madigan did humanize himself for those jurors. Obviously, not enough to overcome the evidence against him, but he did humanize himself. You know, I think that always helps, especially since, you know, there was not yes, they caught him up in some contradictions, but those contradictions, I think, are subject to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rod Blagojevich testified in his own defense at the second trial, and you could say that actually hurt him because he went on, and the judge was scolding him, and the jurors were rolling their eyes at different points. You can definitively say that probably hurt Rod Blagojevich in his own total lack of remorse or self-awareness. And the fact that he was the second governor in a row charged with corruption is why he got 14 years and not a lesser sentence.
Do you think there's any hope that the state will operate without corruption?
As long as one party rules, I think that benefits one party.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean there's not a free flow of ideas. There's not an honest debate over policy differences. There's not compromise. And yes, look, you know, two people who were synonymous with controlling Democratic politics in the city and the state, Ed Burke and Mike Madigan, are dislodged and both now convicted. But Democratic politics go on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's for a host of reasons, from gerrymandering to, you know, money. And by the way, Democrats don't have the corner on that market. You only, you know, to talk about gerrymandered maps, the other side does it in Florida, you know. So
yeah,
this is not a unique situation. This is, whether it's Washington, Illinois, or Chicago, one party rule, I think, breeds darkness, which is where your fungus grows.
Hmm. There's a line to remember.
I don't know about that. I've been on the air a long time. I'm not sure it's coherent.
Well, thank you for joining us. Yeah. We always appreciate when you jump on the show.
Always appreciate you, Lisa. Thanks.
You will see him on TV. That is WGN TV. That is Emmy Award-winning investigative reporter Ben Bradley.